Hi, I'm Dave Scott. Welcome to Living by the Words of God. I remember several years ago, my brother telling me how car salesmen that he worked with would brag about selling cars to people who did not even know how much they actually ended up paying for the car. They did not know the ultimate cost, and many did not want to know. They only cared whether or not they could make the monthly payment. Sometimes we are like that with the bigger issues of life. Thirsting for life and meaning, we sip the cup of material possessions, sensuality, or man-orchestrated religion, trying to satisfy our thirsty souls. Going along, buying what happiness we can, making our monthly payment, neither knowing nor caring about the ultimate cost. But we need to stop and think. Don't I want to know the ultimate price I will end up paying for my current lifestyle? Am I giving glory to God, looking to ultimate happiness? Or am I making monthly payments on a religion or philosophy of life that is just enough to satisfy my immediate needs? Karl Marx is quoted as saying that religion is the opiate of the people. We should know that scholars disagree as to just what he meant, but regardless of what he intended, the statement itself is very revealing and true. The drug for many people is their religion, a temporary fix for a long-term problem or need. This was the situation with Israel during the time of Jeremiah. They paid a tremendous price for not giving God the glory and living by His words. The irony of the following text should astonish us. They had abandoned God's words and the promise of true life for their own words that fit their monthly payment religion. And God finally said, "Okay, have it your way."
Jeremiah 23:36, "But you will never again say, 'The message of the Lord,' because the only message you speak is your own words. You have changed the words of our God, the living God, the Lord all-powerful."
You didn't miss what happened there, did you? After years of changing the words of God to fit their lifestyle, changing God's message to something that better fit their perspective on life, they were left with their own message, their own words, not God's. Lips saying one thing, heart saying another. We maybe want to sit up and take notice. How do we stay on course with the words of God? We allow God to establish our need to live by His words in our hearts and minds. Today and this week we will be discussing how critical it is to our spiritual well-being to establish the certainty of our need to live by the words of God in our own minds and hearts, and to maintain this commitment. First, Carrie has some important information for us.
Hi, and thanks for listening. Today we move on to Chapter 2 of Part 1, Establishing Our Need for the Words of God. To live as God defines living, we need to establish the certainty of our needs to live by the words of God in our minds and hearts. If you are following along in the book, we are on page 35. Before Dave takes us to that part of our study, I would like to share some important details. For information concerning the study, you may contact us online at livingbythewordsofgod.com or by telephone at 466-9503 locally, Terre Haute, or toll-free at 1-888-419-4418. You may order the study book on the web by phone or purchase it locally at the Open Door Christian Bookstore. You may view the book for free on the website, and each radio program is archived online if you want to listen again. Just find the Radio Highlights button and you will be linked to the correct page. If you are interested in being part of a Living by the Words of God study, or if your church is interested in having Dave teach through the study, you may contact us in the same ways. Also, you may listen to daily study highlights on Word Power Family Radio Monday through Friday mornings at 7:04. Okay, Dave, what do you have to say about establishing our need for the words of God?
Living by the words of God has to be established as a point on the horizon from which we never look away, because our tendency is to look away, as in sheep going astray. If we look away or doubt the necessity of the words of God, then we will fail.
Isaiah 53:6, "We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way."
So where and how do we begin? Does God even give us a starting point? We have all the layers of our lives to deal with: culture, personal life experience, religious experience, physical and psychological hurdles, individual uniqueness, and our fallen nature. We are fallen people living in a fallen world, trying to relate to a God whose ways and thoughts are higher than our ways and thoughts, as the heavens are higher than the earth. Where do I start?
Proverbs 1:7. Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction.
Okay, that is pretty clear. We see where we must start, but why? We start with the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord brings us face to face with our most formidable obstacle, a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. All the Bible study in the world will not help us overcome the barrier of a heart not dealt with before our God. Only before the throne of God, bowed in reverence, do we have hope to overcome the deceit of our own hearts. We cannot miss this. If we do not begin here and let God deal with our hearts, then nothing else matters. The heart of the issue is the heart.
Jeremiah 17:9-10. The heart is a twisted thing, not to be searched out by man. Who is able to have knowledge of it? I, the Lord, am the searcher of the heart, the tester of the thoughts, so that I may give to every man the reward of his ways, in keeping with the fruit of his doings.
Do you see God's wisdom in all of this? By ourselves, we cannot look inside and know what is going on. No amount of self-examination or discipline can yield the necessary insight. We have one hope: allowing the Word of God to do God's work in our hearts. The inherent divine design of Scripture is heart work.
For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Hebrews 4:12.
The absolute necessity of beginning our journey in the fear of the Lord cannot be overstated. One way to describe this process of wisdom living would be placing our hearts in God's hands. This is what we do when we submit to the fear of the Lord. We place our lives in the Master's hands. Possibly the following will help us to understand. First, a principle, and then I will try to illustrate. To maintain our reference point of living by the words of God, we must allow God to develop in us an appreciation for the restoration process of people, including ourselves. The theological term I am speaking of is sanctification. When we believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and receive God's gift of eternal life, God begins a redemptive process in each of us. One of the reasons we struggle is that we do not understand this process. God will work in our lives until we see Jesus Christ. As He fashions us into what He wants us to be, He will expose us for what we are. It is at this point where we choose righteousness or self-righteousness. Humility accepts God's work. Pride runs to cover the defects. Understand that the craftsman's vision of wonder and splendor for our lives is based on His love and holiness. God will not compromise His character. Entering into the fear of the Lord begins a process of rebuke and restoration. If you have ever seen a craftsman, or even better, you have done it yourself, restore a worn-out or broken piece of furniture, or an automobile, or an antique toy, or have just cleaned something up and made it useful again, then this may help you understand what God wants for your life.
Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Another principle. To maintain our reference point of living by the words of God, we must be convinced of the success of the project. The entire project has already been financed. The shed blood of Jesus Christ is the full payment. God will not waste his investment. Know and learn God's truth concerning the facts of your salvation. God doesn't build junk, and he does not partially restore junk. If his name goes on it, which it does, then the finished product will be absolutely perfect.
Romans 8:31-32. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
I would encourage you to picture yourself in the Master's workshop. Here our Savior deals with the rust, dust, grime, and broken pieces of our lives, the layers that we are often blind to and helpless before. Here he uses our successes and our failures to grind and shape and fashion our lives. This, friend, is living by the words. Here in the Master's workshop, everything can and will be dealt with. And you, the one created, will be perfectly restored in the image of the Creator. This is why it is essential that we allow God to establish the certainty of living by his words in our hearts and minds. Our temptation is to change the words when things are difficult, but then we find ourselves with our own message. This coming week, we will examine our ability to handle truth when we find it, how to keep our spiritual sight, health, identity, and vision intact so that we may honor God and receive the abundance that he has for us.
Thanks for listening again. Dave has some concluding remarks in just a minute, but first I would like to invite you to join us at 7:04 every morning, Monday through Friday. Also remember our contact information on the web at livingbythewordsofgod.com and by telephone at 466-9503 locally, Terre Haute, and toll-free at 1-888-419-4418. One more important note, airtimes on the three stations may vary by 1 hour due to the time change today. Okay, Dave.
First, some questions examining our perception and value of God's words. Then several verses calling us to the treasure God offers. Do I read God's Word? Do I enjoy reading God's Word? Do I hunger for God's words? Do I ever have a can't wait to hear what God says about this attitude? Do I read the Bible because I meet God when I do? Do I read the Bible because I crave nourishment that I can get nowhere else? Jeremiah 15:16. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Psalm 119:103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119:147. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. Psalm 119:162. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Thanks for joining Carrie and me again this week. May God bless you.